Broadcasted live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
I did promise to come back.
Yes.
And check with you. So you've gone through the SASSA website.
Yes.
And the exercise here is to check whether you are a 350 Rand grant recipient.
That's correct.
Okay. Because so, you've got two first-year students, university students, who presented 30 days ago to Portfolio Committee of Social Development and discovered that upon a tiny little research that they conducted in university, about 70% of the people in the university were SASSA recipients, which was not supposed to be.
Yes.
All they had to do was punch in either their telephone number or ID number, and lo and behold, they were recipients who had been paid. And in fact, when you go to the site, you can see it says September paid, October paid, November paid, what? And so on. We spoke to those students, by the way.
Yes,
we spoke to them. And they said it was a very simple exercise. And the system is so porous. The security is so weak. So, of course, they went to the Portfolio Committee to address this, to say, folks, you know, we are sitting with double dipping on a scale that I don't think the country can afford. SASSA was then asked to, do they want to respond or do they want to go and check it out for themselves? They were given 30 days. They came back today. This is now the 30th day. And they said, well, we established a war room. We got some independent analysts and the students are right. This is a crisis and we need to do something urgently. And they're saying, we can confirm, everybody who's been telling us that things are strange, somebody's using their ID, is right. When you're not sure, why do people have your details? It's because somebody else out there has been using your identity. And they're saying, well, you know, everything the students were telling us is correct. People are right. And the question is, who is taking this money?
Yeah.
That's money we are losing.
Yeah.
In the That's tax, money we are losing.
Exactly. And that we contribute to. I must tell you, as I was going through this on the website, Mudibedi is a great witness. My face is just filled with so much confusion. But essentially, I went to the website on SASSA. They basically have various ways of trying to confirm whether you're updating your personal details or you're checking your ID number or correcting your banking details. What I went into was trying to confirm whether or not I am a SASSA applicant. They asked for my cell phone number.
Mm-hmm.
And then through that, I got an OTP just a short while ago. And from there, it's actually taken me to a form now that wants me to consent to apply for the COVID-19 Social Relief of Distress Grant, the 350. So there are various terms and conditions that they've listed here that essentially ask me to confirm my application. I am assuming also Pimelo, because I'm not sure about, you know, access to personal details, and there's a lot that they're looking for here. But essentially, just verification that I am registered with SARS. They're also going to check for my personal banking details. They do mention that they will check with commercial banks if my cell phone number or ID is registered with them before following through with the application. So on this end, from what I can tell, I'm not too sure if this is 100% correct. It appears as though I'm not registered for it. But as you say, that just might be linked to the cell phone number, not necessarily one's ID.
No, things have slightly improved because they've had to do this immediately and do something.
Okay.
And here's what would have happened. Google's ID number would have been the same. No, I beg your pardon. Google's cell phone number would have been the same number that the system accepts for more than one application.
Huh?
Yes. So you can apply for your grandmother, your grandfather, your uncle, your auntie, and on one number.
I can understand how that makes sense from a socioeconomic point of view, where everyone in a family might not have a phone, but the risks involved with
exactly.
that, when we're making sure that people actually recur their SIM cards to track individuals and be able to trace them. So it leads to a lot of confusion there.
Lots of confusion. There are lots of recommendations, you know, that can we maybe even have a biometric system
yes.
where we can tighten up the security? Here's the thing. You would understand this. That money is leaking. That's money that's pouring into a drain.
Mm.
And it's fraudulent. And I'm not even sure it's enough to say that we are tightening up the security. I want to know who.
Yes.
Because there is a syndicate. There is a system in place. Someone's benefiting. And it just sends chills down my spine.
Yeah. And how long for? Where has this money gone? And how long for? And as you say, how many people even further might be impacted by this fraudulent activity that takes place? But thank you for alerting us, Ospimelo. You've made myself and many other people a lot more wiser about being a lot more alert about identity fraud that does take place in South Africa. So I guess a clarion call for many of us to just be a lot more vigilant. Mm.
Thanks so much for staying with us. You may remember that we spoke to two university students who were giving us, you know, a background as to how is it that they found that they thought that the SASSA system was left wanting. And of course, as you remember, they went to Parliament. They, you know, they shared their research, and the Parliament Portfolio Committee said to SASSA, well, do you want to respond to this? SASSA said, well, can we have some time? They were granted 30 days to go and, you know, formulate some sort of a response or an investigation of them, of their own, and then come back. We also did speak to chairperson of the Portfolio Committee itself on social development, and we also said we will come back once SASSA comes back to them with some answers. Well, she is on the line with us this evening, Ms. Bridget Masango. Thank you so much for your time. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Pamela. Thank you so much for the time.
So, you know, SASSA came back, and I must say, humbly so, just judging from their presentation and the tone with which they presented. And, you know, it's quite startling, is it not, that they themselves found that, yes, the young students were right.
Yes, it is actually startling, and it obviously, you know, asks a whole lot of questions as a portfolio committee member to say when, how long has this been going on, how many people are affected, and so on and so forth. But their acceptance through obviously the investigating service provider that they hired, who is independent, who then confirmed in so many you know, terms that the two students were actually right. Hmm.
Do we have a sense how deep the problem is? So we know that the students were right. We know that the system is extremely vulnerable. But do we can we quantify it? Do we know how much SASSA is losing?
Right. What we got to hear today was that the time that they asked for, because I kept correcting the minister and the department to say, we did not set the timelines. You asked for 30 days. Yes. We gave you 30 days.
Yes.
But in the process, because they were going to go out and then find a service provider following the internal processes, you know, prevailing processes to identify a service provider that can do this work. By the time it was 30 days, it was 11 days. On the 11th that they found a suitable service provider, which then at up the 30 days. By the time they came to us, they hadn't actually used 30 days to do the work, which is why then the report is preliminary, Pamela, at this time, because what it says, it confirmed the findings of the two students, but then it identified other gaps or weaknesses, if you like, in the system that then. And what one appreciates that they did is to say, here's an issue, here's a recommendation. So now we the process going forward is going to be the department and SASSA going back to say, here are the issues that have been identified, here are the urgent ones that the system cannot afford to actually stay like this, and here is the remediation that we are going to be doing. And along the lines, or parallel to that, they now have to ask the questions that you are asking now, to say how many identity numbers have been in the system applying for the grant without the owners of the identity numbers knowing this, and how much was paid, because we know the applications are active, but where the money is paid. So they are going now to do this work so that we can know the extent of the leakage from the system, and how long this has been going on, who are involved, and what is going to be done about them.
And I do understand that these are very, very early stages, and this is a preliminary report that we're not able to complete the work until by the time they came to you. But was there anything proactively they were able to do immediately to sort of, you know, in a way, halt the damage?
Yes. We did not get that report from SASSA. We just got the service provider a report. But we were given assurance that things that could be done immediately on the system were done, so that we don't actually wait when we know the extent of the damage for when the entire investigation has been done. So, but I cannot for now outline to you what it is that was done. It was, most of this thing was so technical, but we were assured that the stuff that could be done immediately was done, and then we are left with a report now, a risk assessment report that is being drawn, out of which then SASSA will start remediating where remediation is required.
So do we have new timelines? Did they, you know, give you a sense of... Yes, go ahead, ma'am.
Yeah. The process from today onwards, because this is when we found out that more time is needed, and we were also, you know, could appreciate that. We are now, on behalf of the portfolio committee, I will be writing to the minister using the reports that we were given, and liaise with the minister to say how much, after he has spoken to the service providers or to SASSA ICT people, how much time will this work need, so that we don't do the same thing that we did, where we were asked for 30 days, we gave 30 days without consideration of the technical aspects of this and the fact that they actually needed to go out and on tender for this project.
You made the point, I think, when you started your meeting. This is a department that needs this money. This is a department where so many vulnerable South Africans rely on this money for survival, for food. And the thought that money is going down the drain by people who are scrupulous, by whether it's syndicates, whether it is whatever it is, I think just sends chills down my spine.
Yeah, it is. It should. To any South African, to actually realize that there is a possibility, a potential of money being siphoned off the coffers of the taxpayers into the hands of people that are not eligible for it.
Yeah.
It is unthinkable. You do not want to think about it. Yeah. But what I wanted to mention, Pamela, on this issue is that when the AG South Africa came, the Auditor General came to present to us. Mm. They made a point that the minister confirmed today that there is very weak or no oversight by the department on SASSA. Mm. So that is another point of being very, very concerned, because we are talking about an organization that is dealing with 200 average, I'm just approximating, 250 billion rand a year. So if the department to which you report, it does not have oversight over you presiding over this money, there is a concern there.
Yeah, unacceptable. And I think there is another acknowledgement which is equally chilling, is that while people have been saying, you know, I am supposed to be a recipient, I keep complaining to the system and to the relevant people to say, I haven't received this money, but the system says I have. And that the legitimate concerns of real recipients who are not getting their money, that money is being siphoned away by other people. I think it's troubling indeed.
It is troubling, Pamela, and we are doing our best as the portfolio committee, because we have to oversight this work and be careful that we don't get to be administrative and executive. Mm-hmm. At the same time, we need to measure and balance our distance from what is going on so that we can ensure that we oversight without dictating and without actually doing what we want to do the work ourselves.
Yeah.
So it's a very, very tricky balancing exercise, but we were given the assurance and the undertaking by the minister to say she is the wide distance between her department and SASSA is going to be shortened now, as advised by the AGSA, because also all these things are falling between the cracks because of one of the things is that where is oversight?
Wow. Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Social Development, thank you so much, ma'am. Bridget Masango, giving us her time after that meeting. They sat down with SASSA today to get some sort of feedback. SASSA had asked for 30 days to come back with a comprehensive response to the students. Well, it's not a pretty picture at all. And so we'll obviously keep an eye on the story. But Sammy, you're calling from Pretoria. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening, King Adai.
I know, this story has gotten me very depressed. I'm well, how are you?
Pumela, I'm not surprised that it's gotten me depressed. Is this the first time that you're hearing about this whole mess?
No, it's not, Wanasemi. But what I think is very depressing is that it takes a long time for some of these government departments to acknowledge the fact that it's true, number one. Meaning people tear out their hair. I mean, look at the story in Westbury, right? We've just spoken about it. No one wants to admit that, you know, somebody's not doing their job. It's very difficult. And with this one, at face value, it's just two students, kind of thing. There is now confirmation. And I am, in fact, my tummy is sore when I say me, because I can't wait to hear the numbers of how much of this money is going down the drain that is needed by SASSA grant recipients. So I'm not surprised, but I'm distressed.
Pimelo, you know the problem, this thing has been going on ever since 2020. There's been people who've been working in government, who've been claiming from SASSA, who've been arrested. Reports are out there, it's been reported in the media. There are people who are employed that are claiming from SASSA. They've been claiming from SASSA ever since 2020.
Yeah.
And it shows that government doesn't want to solve the problem. And I also blame political parties opposition parties, because opposition parties, when it comes to things like Ramaphosa, Phalaphala and stuff, they'll take government to court. They'll sing, make all sing, song and dance on all sorts of things. They'll take bigger actions. But why haven't they done anything regarding this SASSA problem? Because it's a problem that's been going for 4 years. Then it shows that nobody wants to solve the problem. The people that's got power to solve this problem doesn't want to solve it.
Sammy, thank you so much for calling in. Sammy is in Pretoria. Now, you may be aware that today Namibians were out and they were out to vote. Really, really a big election there. So I'm going to be speaking to activist and Indigenous knowledge researcher Alphonse Koruhama, who obviously is going to give us an update on that story. Let me take a quick break, and when I come back, we'll get into the story about Namibia.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.